military bases are pretty basic and utilitarian, but they don't always have to be. Ted Johnson, the Defense and National Security Research Manager at the Deloitte Center for Government Insight, says smart bases may be the future. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni spoke with Johnson about smart base potential.
The interesting thing about smart bases is that there is no one-size-fits-all. So I couldn't point to a base that would be the like a very good model for what all of the smart base applications could look like across the military infrastructure. So some good examples are Fort Stewart and Kings Bay in Georgia, Naval Submarines Base Kings Bay in Georgia, who've used their excess land capacity to install solar panels that gives them an independent power source and allows them to detach from the local power grid in case of an emergency or an extremis or a disaster of some sort. So now these bases not only have their own independent power source, but they sell that power that they're not using back to the local community, to Georgia Power, and these things are connected using smart energy technologies. So we have an idea of what the concepts could look like and the security that it can provide bases. But the possibilities are literally endless. The only thing that will bridle it is your imagination. And so Fort Bragg is using autonomous vehicles to move injured service members, wounded service members from the rehabilitation clinic to the hospital for their appointments instead of putting them in drivers or pulling them in vans.
You know, the military is pretty tight with their money, or at least they try to be tight with their money, and they're always saying that they don't have enough, especially for infrastructure. Where is this best applied? And where's the potential for real investments in this sector?
I think energy is where it's best applied. That is one thing that every single base uses and does not produce on their own. Has to manage some of their resources with commercial entities. So energy, I think, is the perfect place to start. Both from a security standpoint and from an economic one. What the military will have to do, what the Department of Defense will have to do, is sell commercial buyers or commercial entities, companies, on the prospect of providing upfront investments and initial costs for the deployment of these new technologies. That will be where the military will sort of balk on installing wireless antennas and buying these devices in bulk because of how much they cost. But if you could work in a cost-sharing model with commercial companies, or even a savings model, that would allow the companies to come in, install the gear, but then make their money based on the savings the military realizes, or make their money based on a monthly contracted service or annual contracted service for the provision of energy or the management of the networks of these Internet of Things devices, then it becomes a feasible model for both the military and a long-term source of revenue and income for the commercial sector. You could do this with energy companies, telecommunications companies, cybersecurity companies, sort of wireless access companies that provide base-wide Wi-Fi access, even outside of the Internet of Things devices. So it will have to be a cost-sharing model if the Department of Defense and the commercial sector want to do this in the most efficient, streamlined way. The military may balk at this because it gives some sense of ownership to essential base functions to the private sector. And there is some hesitancy to do that because of the requirements to have complete control over all aspects of your security, particularly in times of crisis. But those are details that can be worked out and can be sort of written into the contractual obligations of the private sector to even be sort of overtaken in the case of an attack or something like that. On day-to-day operations, this is a model that works for both sides and can be done in a manner that could even fit into some of the sequestration and budget control act stipulations and regulations we're currently operating under.
Now, you talked about all these different services and everything, and I was just wondering, out a special contract or anything, what kind of cost would the government be looking at to implement something like the energy, first of all, and then second of all, something maybe a little more simple like the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, so the big projects, those are strategic investments. And I think the Army has been doing this for about a decade now and has realized something like $150 million in cost avoidance. And so a lot of times the terminology here is important, because if you install these things hoping to save money on your power bill immediately, the upfront cost for the installation of smart technology, smart energy sorts of things negates whatever savings you realize on the margins from transferring from traditional power sources to more sustainable power sources. But so the real advantage is money you don't have to spend in the out years because you've upgraded your energy grid for the base. So in cost avoidance, $150 million, even for an enterprise as big as the Army or the Department of Defense, when you're saving that on just a particular, a few installations on a few bases, that's significant. And when you look at the amount of real estate and expenses and maintenance costs that the Department of Defense spends on all of its bases, and then scale those cost avoidance savings up, it turns into real money, even for the Department of Defense, very quickly. So those things, I think the military will be more willing to make those large capital investments in those upfront costs to realize those longer savings and avoidance costs down the line. But for things, for the smaller things like base-wide Wi-Fi access, I think there is a deal to be found where the Department of Defense has to spend nothing upfront, and where the commercial entity comes in and provides the service, the hardware, all of that stuff as part of the contract at no cost to the government, with the understanding that they will reap those costs, those expenses back in the cost sharing model that or even using advertising to sell some of that space. So the example for this is airports. Most major airports now have free Wi-Fi access in the airport, and the way that's paid for is through, you know, ads that pop up before you're allowed access or on the initial page once you've signed on. So the company pays for that access through selling ad space. And there's no need, or there's little need, for hardware infrastructure, because a lot of those, particularly on bases, this would be applicable, because a lot of the cell towers are running at broadband speeds already, 4G, 5G in some places. Now you don't even have to go around and put wireless routers everywhere. You can use existing cell coverage so that your initial costs up front are even lower than they were before. So these are all best case scenarios. None of it is that easy. The added burden for these telecom companies is something they'll have to consider. The monetizing services provided to military families and service members may not be politically palatable, and so there may have to be some cost sharing by the government or some expenses provided by the government. But the models for this in cybersecurity and in other spaces like universities and airports already exist, and so it's just a matter of tailoring those existing models to the security infrastructure and the politics surrounding military bases to make the thing work for everyone.